JSE listed technology company EOH released their annual results today. For the 12 months ended July 2020, the company reported group revenue coming in at 11.3 billion rand. That's down 25% on the year prior. It reported a headline loss of 495 cents per share. That's down 72% on the headline loss per share of 1,751 cents a year before. Despite the still unfavorable numbers this time around, the company says it's made significant strides in positioning itself for growth. Well, to discuss the results further, I'm joined on the line by Stephen van Coller. He's the CEO at EOH. Thanks very much, Stephen, for joining us. Now, just take us through your key divisions and the operational performances you saw there in the period under review.
Thanks very much. So, yes, I mean, I think generally the results have been great. It's really been one of continual improvement. You can see 2020 better than 2019 and second half significantly better than first half. But what was massively pleasing was the cash conversion rate, which really underpins the accuracy of your normalized EBITDA. You know, we generated about 706 million rands worth of operating cash flow against an EBITDA, normalized EBITDA of 827 million, which is about an 85% conversion rate. We were aiming for 80, so we outperformed, and that was extremely pleasing because it just tells us the business is back on track.
Yeah, it does seem ironic that you say that of the two halves, it was your second half that was better than the first. And that's generally the opposite when we speak to other companies, when they tell us about their narrative. But I suppose that's because you are in the technology space.
Well, I think it was two things. Remember, we came through a crisis in 2019. And we were sort of closing off that. We put a lot of things in place that were sort of done by the end of the first half, which was, January 2020. And then we were already in fit and, you know, waiting for the race. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we were in a much better position than we would have been if it hadn't been for the 2019 issues. And that's really reflected in how quickly we were able to react, firstly. But secondly, also, you know, being organized like that, we were able to really go and assist our customers. And we found that that was actually very positive for us. And you can see that in the numbers.
Hmm. Did you experience situations where some of your existing clients were struggling to honor their obligations to you? Because, of course, there have been financial impacts, lower transactions, lower demand due to the economic impacts of the virus. And if so, how did you deal with those situations?
No, absolutely. I mean, where we were lucky is we'd already stratified, I suppose is the word, all our customers. Where we're lucky is we've got over 5,000 customers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not beholden to any single sector, any single customer, any single product.
Yes.
And so we've got a very broad church of income. We identified about 67 customers, if I remember correctly, that may have difficulties or will obviously have difficulties. And we went directly to them and tried to rework what their needs would be, because, you know, clearly as everyone wants to work from home, needs digital support, they don't want to be switched off, but maybe they want a different service. And for me, in my business, I've got input costs and output costs. And as long as I'm managing and matching the two, you can survive. And that's exactly what we did. And I think that's what made the difference. And so I actually think we created a lot of loyalty with many of our customers who were struggling, and we could help them.
Yeah. And then just in terms of you've got 5,000 customers, that's a lot. But in terms of new customers, were you able to attract any?
Yes, definitely. You know, when you've got such a broad church of customers, what you're trying to do is it's not so much new customers, is it those customers just, you know, selling them more product or assisting them with new things. And obviously going into COVID, all of a sudden there was the work from home. Do they have stable networks? Do they have the security around it into
yes.
their systems? It was a big issue for some of the customers, and we were immediately able to do that. And that was, you know, really helpful. When people go home and they're using company Wi-Fi, What are they using it for? Is the company paying for Netflix or is it paying for work? And that's the type of systems we've got. And then we made new ones like this. We've got a Get Space or See a Corner app where you can actually book a desk and you can fill in your COVID form. You can arrive there, have your temperature taken. So it monitors your workforce the whole time, but also allows people to book space in an office given that everyone's trying to social distance. So we're able to do a number of those things.
So it doesn't sound right, but you're able to get corporates to spy on their workers as to how productive they're being or not, basically.
Well, it's just about managing your costs. It's like if you give someone a use of a company car, you don't really want them going on holiday on it and you paying for it. So it's no different. It's just in a different age. And, you know, some companies, you know, don't mind. Some companies do mind.
Yes.
For me, you know, at home, I had Wi-Fi because I've got six kids and they're all watching Netflix all the time. So I use my own Wi-Fi because it's unlimited and I don't need to charge the company. So it all depends, you know, where you are and what you're trying to do as a company.
Yeah.
So it's just if you want the systems and you want that, it's there.
Yeah.
But you tell people so that they don't abuse it.
Exactly. Makes sense. Now, one of the things you do emphasize in your report is the efforts that you've made to cut costs and become more efficient. What have you been doing in this regard?
Well, there's been a number of things. You know, we started first with our property portfolio. You know, we had over 110,000 square meters of excess property. We've closed, you know, over 80, I think 81 properties or leases over the last 18 months, which
yes.
is busy saving us about 74 million rand a year. If you annualize it, you can see that come through. We're busy digitizing our whole workspace. We think that just optimizing that's going to save 25% of those costs. We've reduced a lot of contractors to make sure that permanent employees are more, you know, productive. So there's been, you know, lots of work around that. And that's really where we've seen the difference in the business. And this is why you've seen this big drop in costs, but on a sustainable basis, you know, we've dropped costs 5% this year, you know, like for like, and we expect to do 3 to 5% again next year because this is what our customers want.
Now, I see that you managed to whittle down your debt a fair bit. As at December the 1st, it was sitting at 2.6 billion rand from 4 billion rand a couple of years back. Is this a comfortable debt level for you guys, or do you think there's more work to be done and perhaps you can do that through the disposal of some of the properties that you no longer need?
Yeah, so we've actually halved the debt as at the 30th of November. So in the post-balance sheet numbers, you'll see we paid even more down. We ended up with 2 billion and 42. I was hoping it would be below 2, but I can live with the 42. This is not quite where we want to be.
Yeah.
We've still got some more disposals to do. COVID slowed them down as people wanted to see would the revenue come back. And you can see in our IP slide that, you know, we didn't know whether it was going to be a U-shaped recovery, no recovery, but we ended up with a V-shaped recovery. And so we're very excited about that. And we will reduce the debt a bit further, but we're busy in discussions with the bank now to put on a permanent capital structure, given we've got this clean audit from, you know, unqualified audit from PwC. So we know what the downside risk in the business is now. We've provided conservatively for it. And this is a real big, big milestone for us. And hopefully we can close it out in the next 6 months.
Yeah. Speaking to that unqualified audit, we know that you came in, what, a couple of years ago, if that, to EOH to fix a fair bit of damage that had been done to the company. And you came with your bristly broom to clean up and get it back to the basics of the core business. Do you think that you're on track with that? Would you say that the remnants of the past ways of doing things are well and truly gone?
Yes, most definitely. You know, we finished our investigation with ENS last year. We gave up all the information to the authorities. Obviously, very relieved now that the authorities have, you know, caught up. The SIU, as you know, we've settled two of the three overcharging contracts. Zondo Commission is now obviously putting a lot of the information in the public,
yes.
But it means now that the actual legal processes can actually move forward. And that's a big relief for us. So that's behind us. And And that's not just the only data point. When I see what my customers are saying to me, what even some of, you know, some senior government people are saying to EOH in terms of what we've done, it's definitely behind us, because there's lots of, you know, congratulations, thanks for actually doing it. So I'm very excited about that, because it means that the board and the executive can now spend 100% of their time on actually, you know, focusing on growth going forward.
Yes. And then, you know, lastly, just to tag on to what you've just said, growth going forward, what is the outlook? You do sound very optimistic about what you've achieved during COVID. So as we go into 2021, your expectation and outlook?
Yeah, so if I just relay, speaking to the large four bank CEOs, they seem to be pretty consistent in their view that South Africa will only return to pre-COVID levels around end of 2022-23. I think that's probably right. Obviously, in the IT industry, as people are trying to digitize their businesses, and I've had the same message back from many of our customers, and including the banks, that this is what they're trying to do to take cost out. I do think that we will probably, as an industry, slightly outperform GDP, which is, you know, obviously helpful.
Yes.
But I think it is going to be tough, and this is why we've got this focus on cost cutting, to make sure that we are as efficient as we can be for our customers. And then we need to take this competitive advantage, both here and in Egypt, that we've got from a cost perspective, because we're about 60% of European, you know, salary costs, into Europe, into you know, Middle East, into the UK, and start selling our IP there. And this is really what we've started doing in the last couple of years.
That was Stephen van Coller. He's the CEO at EOH.